Hey, welcome back, guys, to the Early Bird Podcast. This is episode 5. I'm with my man, James. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing phenomenal, man. Blessed.
Well, me and James, we met at We Live 19 at Dallas, and it was a pretty life-changing experience. And he actually did a couple deals before we even came. So he was the only one that actually knew that was like, I actually did a deal. I was like, wow, that's crazy, because I still don't know how it feels to do my deal. So let's just start with the basics. How did you get started in real estate?
Man, I'll tell you, I didn't know anything about it whatsoever. I still feel like I'm learning a lot, but basically last year I went through some things with life, you know, going through a divorce. My mom had 2 types of stage 4 cancer.
Okay.
And man, life just, I had a 19-year career with Lowe's.
Right.
I was a store manager with 6-figure income for the last 5 years of it. And, I took some time off to take care of my mom and go through some stuff with her. When I was out, I started going to, I went to a Tony Robbins, Gary Vaynerchuk,
okay.
I think down in Orlando.
Okay.
So me and my girl went down there and, I was listening to all the speakers and all of a sudden some guy got up there and he's like, oh, you know, I'm going to talk about real estate. And I was like, man, I don't have any money to do real estate. So I told my girl, I was like, I'm going to go to the bathroom real quick. I literally got up and the guy's like, if you're leaving now because you think you have to have money to make money, you use OPM, you use other people's money, and if you're leaving now, it's the wrong time. And I'm like, I'm at the Amway Arena in Orlando, and I'm like, wait, does he see me? Is he in my mind? So I was like, you know what? I sat back down. You know, I felt like God told me to do that. So sat down, listened to what he had to say, did a weekend course, and that weekend course was the first time I ever heard anything about wholesaling. And it just literally, like, blew my mind, because it was, you know how it is. You get that taste of it. You're like, man, could this be real? Is it real? And then I started going from there.
That's I didn't know that, but that's crazy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So when did you quit your job at Lowe's after like you started doing deals, or was this like way before?
So I was out on leave of absence for Lowe's because, with everything going on, I took some time off.
Right.
But during that time period, like the last 19 years, I was, a slave to corporate America.
Right.
And during that small time I was out, I realized, like, I was picking up my, I have a 13-year-old son. His name is Gage.
Okay.
Dude, he's 5'10", 180 pounds. He's a big kid.
Right.
At 13. But I was picking him up and dropping him off to school. And I was like, you know what? I got to find something different, man. There's more to life than work for somebody else's dream. So I finally said, you know what? I'm not going back to that corporate America mindset because it holds you in, man. It keeps you from your dreams because they lock you in. They make you feel like you have to stay there. You feel like a prisoner almost.
Right.
So I decided to walk away from Lowe's. That was before I even had a first deal. That was when I was playing around with some stuff with Amazon.
Okay.
And trying to do some sourcing from China. And then I heard, like I said, I went to that venue. And that's why I started hitting this. But yeah, I'm doing it full time now.
That's good. That's good to hear.
Yeah, for sure. So
how did you get your first deal? Like, what was the steps that you took to actually get that first deal, like get that first check?
Yeah. So to be honest with you, I took a course through this company called Response.
Okay.
And when I took that course, it gave me some good beginning stuff to do, but I started reading like a ton of books. We talk about that at We Live.
Right.
And I got this book, If You Can't Wholesale After This, I've Got Nothing For You.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
Yeah, so I read that book, and in the book it said something about, and it brings you step one through step eight. I mean, it brings you very elementary through it. But this guy in the book said, hey, if you post a Craigslist ad in the areas you want to wholesale in every morning and every afternoon, and just stay consistent. He goes, you may get a call in a day, you may get a call in 6 months, but you're doing free, it's free.
Right.
So 3 weeks into putting that post on Craigslist, I got a call from this lady.
Wow.
And I was scared. I was like, I didn't know what to say. I was like, she's like, hey, you buy houses. And I'm like, I was nervous, but I went through it anyways. And I already, I have a sales background, so I really listened to her. She was very highly motivated. Give you a breakdown. She bought this house like 6 months ago for like $175,000, and she paid cash.
Damn.
She moved from Atlanta down to Florida, and she came down here for work, and then she had her daughter who was living with her, who was autistic.
Okay.
And she ended up like, it was too much for her to do. Right. She wasn't getting enough work. So after listening to her motivation, I took a trip up to St. Augustine, met her, and the house visit.
Whoa, why did he just freeze?
That's one thing you'll find out, like, wholesaling isn't necessarily about that.
Whoa.
All this, and we sat on our front porch for like a half an hour just talking about her daughter and her work life and her personal life. And then at the end of the day, like, you know, we talked about numbers, and I threw out a number. I knew kind of what my maximum allowable offer would be, which I was nervous about throwing out there because, right, you know, it was a low number. But she said she was going to think about it, and I was like, oh, man, I've lost the deal. And I text her every couple of days, say, hey, Margaret, you know, just want to find out what's going on. And then next thing you know, she locked it up, and she actually had a higher offer by like $6,000 more, but she felt comfortable with me, like I wasn't out to get her.
Right.
And she knew it wasn't like high pressure or anything like that, so locked up the deal and put it under contract, man.
Damn, that's crazy.
So, yeah, it blew my mind.
Yeah, so the one thing that we learned in WeLive was it's a people business, not like a money business. So yes. Is that what you did? Like, just talk to her like a human being, not about it's everything but the house, right?
Everything but the house. It was more about, you know, listening about her daughter, listening about her, what she's gone through, the financial struggle. It's amazing when you ask questions and you just shut up.
Right.
Like, people talk.
Right.
Like my father used to tell me, and I'm sure you've heard it, you know, God gave us 2 ears and one mouth, so we listen twice as much as we talk.
Exactly.
So she really, you know, it was not about the house. It was about her and everything she was dealing with and seeing if I could actually provide solutions. She had a couple of wholesalers who offered her lower prices.
Okay.
Then she has somebody who offered her a higher price, but, you know, she ended up locking in with me for $133,000.
Okay.
And she just bought it 6 months before that for $174,000, $175,000. So I was like blown away by that.
Yeah, that's crazy. So have you kept in touch after, or do you know anything about her?
A little bit, yeah. So after everything, like, she was a very high stress person.
Right.
And the thing that scared me was we locked it under contract, and that day I was like so ecstatic about it. I was like, oh my God, now what do I do? So I shopped it out to the few buyers I had, and I got to tell you, and anybody listening, like, build that buyers list as much as you can. Like,
right,
if I were to give any keys to anything, like, if you build that buyers list first,
right,
you're gonna be a lot better off because when you start shopping these deals out and pushing it out to your buyers list, and nobody's biting on it,
right,
get a little paranoid. And the thing was, so she wanted to move back to Atlanta. So next thing you know, her real estate agent called me, and he's like, I'm like, oh man, I don't know the real estate lingo.
Right.
So he's like, he goes, hey man, like, what's been going on with this deal? And I was like, he's like, you know, she has a house up here. We put an offer on,
right,
and it's contingent on your deal closing. And I'm like,
and this is your first deal.
Yeah. So I'm freaking out. And then she's texting me all the time because she was high anxiety. And like Tom Kroll from Wholesaling Inc. is on it. He's like, try not to take on the anxiety of the seller. But man, I was nervous because, yeah, I didn't want to disappoint her. But I shopped it around. I couldn't find a buyer. But what I did was I put it on Meetup. I put it on Facebook Marketplace.
Okay.
I put it on Craigslist. And I put, there's an assignable contract. The next thing you know, I got it locked in for $139,000, and I bought it for $133,000. So it was $6,000, which was nice.
Yeah.
But it wasn't even about that. It was about her calling me and saying, hey, by the way, James, like, you know, me and my daughter are home for Christmas. They made it back right in time for Christmas.
Wow.
To be with her son and her family up there.
Right.
And away from Florida and back around that family atmosphere. So it was huge. And she's messaged me a few times just saying how appreciative she was of it. And even though it was stressful for her, and she apologized for how high her anxiety levels were, we delivered. So
yeah,
it ended up working out, man. So it was a win-win for sure.
Yeah. I don't know about you, but like, I'm a selfish person to the point where I just like helping people because it actually makes me feel really good. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yep.
So
I agree.
For the real estate, you know, listeners that are just starting out, you said that building a buyer's list is like one of the first things that they should do. So how would they start doing that if they never met a buyer or don't know how to get a buyer?
Yeah, sure. So a few things I did was, and I got this from that course, was I ended up going, and they call them ghost ads.
Right.
But basically go on Craigslist. Some people like this, some people don't. It's just your personal preference. But you just go on Craigslist, you create a free ad saying, you know, 3-2 single family home, investor special in Volusia County, Florida, or wherever you're from.
Right.
And you just say, you know, act now, won't last long. Next thing you know, your phone's going to be ringing off the hook. And what it is, it's either retail customers looking to buy that property, or it's buyers who are saying, hey, I want that for my portfolio.
Right.
So as they're calling, I'm writing down their information. I'm asking them for their email, their phone number. I let them know, saying this property is no longer available.
Right.
However, you know, I do have some strategic marketing techniques I use. And if you tell me what areas you're looking for, what's, you know, what, you know, all this criteria about what they're looking for, I'll add them to my buyers list. So I started adding, like, probably in the first week after that, I added about 25 or 30.
Wow. Okay.
But that's not enough, man.
It was just,
but then after that, going to Ria's, going to like local real estate investor meetings, Facebook groups. I mean, you'll find buyers anywhere, man. You really can. It's funny because I think we talked about Wholesaling Inc. And that guy, Tom Kroll, said, look, if the deal's right, it's going to sell. You go to church tomorrow and stand up and say, hey, I got a $200,000 house that's available for $100,000 cash. You're going to have 5 or 6 people before you walk out of that church going,
right.
So, but you definitely want to load up your buyers list really quick, because the last thing you want is to provide to promise the solution for a seller who's in a desperate situation,
right.
And then you have nobody to give it to, and then you're freaking out, and you have to cancel a contract. That's the last thing you want to do, you know?
Exactly. So now, Let's say you have set up a list of buyers list. How do you distinguish between a seller and a motivated seller? Because a couple times when I talk to them, they're just like iffy. They don't know if they want to sell it or like when they want it. You know what I mean? So how do you distinguish it that they're like ready to sell?
Yeah, so I basically go off of that would tell me like, you know, I don't know, some people color code it, but like if it's green, it's ready to go, because they're right. Like, look, I'm foreclosing in the next couple weeks, or you know, I have to leave the state. You know, when you hear, you just got to really, like I said, listen. But you want people who want to close quickly. And if that, when you talk to them, say, hey, are you looking to do this within the next 30 days? And they say, nah, I have enough time. They're probably not the most motivated. And they're probably somebody who is going to shop around your offer. And they're going to, you know, they're going to kind of play against other people. But when you have that person, like, you know, our friend Kyle, right?
Right.
So Kyle and I were talking a little while ago, and he got a phone call from a lady, and he's been on the phone with her for like 40 minutes now, and she's just pouring her heart out. So when you hear people in that situation where they're pouring their heart out, and you hear those key words like, I need to, I have to, you don't understand, like financially I can't afford this anymore,
right.
I'm behind on taxes, all those things trigger. And not saying those people who aren't 6 months out aren't important too,
right.
But you got to react to people who need you to react to them, because you may help them out of a situation where they may lose a house.
Exactly.
So
that's amazing. So now you found your sellers, and now your buyers. How did you get your first contract, since you said you started like with a class, right? Out of response. So how did you get your first contract? And then sometimes when I read a contract, it's just like, whoa, what do these words mean? And I'm guessing that some sellers are like, I don't know what this is. They get a little scared. So how do you go by that, like trying to understand the contract?
I will tell you, I still don't understand it thoroughly. Right. I understand it more and more with every deal I do. You know, from the first deal to the last deal I did, like I understand it more and more, because obviously we got to constantly be hungry and feeding our mind so we can set those sellers at ease.
Right.
But the real thing was reviewing the contract in full, and then kind of, you know, like Gary Vee talks about, you know, Google is here for us. So
right.
I would literally Google search it, and then it would bring up a whole bunch of answers, and I'd be like, okay, that makes sense. And then I'd watch a video on it. So the more I see the things that were in the contracts, the first contract I got was through that response team.
Right.
The one I sent out to you.
Right.
And I had to make sure, obviously, it's an assignable contract. It's not assignable.
You can't.
It's not going to help you from a wholesale aspect. But and then like I said, as I don't usually review the contract in whole with the seller. I give it to them and allow them to review it. They'll review it. If they have any questions, they'll ask, and I'll do my best to answer. Or if I don't know the answer, I'll always reference to another thing. You know, I'll say, hey, you know, let me check my partner and double check. I'm pretty sure this is what this goes over. However, because there's a lot of things in that contract are just have to be in the contract, but
right.
Most of it doesn't even pertain to that assignable of a contract. But I'm still learning it, man. I see, I'm still new to it too. But yeah, just like I said, trial and error, and then researching yourself. You know?
Exactly, yeah, trial and error. I believe that. So let's take a step back to We Live where we met. You said you told me how after the first like night or day, you already got like your money's back or whatever. So how was that event for you? And would you go again next year?
Man, that event was phenomenal, man. Yeah. I got there at 1 o'clock in the afternoon that day.
Thursday.
And I gotta tell you, like,
Thursday, right?
Yeah, yeah. I got there Thursday at 1 o'clock, and within the first hour, I already got to meet Francis and one of Max's friends from school.
Right.
I got to talk with Kong. I got to talk with Trevor from Carrot.
Okay.
I got to talk with Deal Machine.
Okay.
Dave Lecko. Like, I got to talk to all these people within that very short time, and I was like listening to them and absorbing what they were saying. Just that's one thing I love about this business is that there's so many people with that go giver attitude.
Yeah.
People who are just willing to help and pour out their hearts because they want you to succeed. But man, would I go back to that? Absolutely. I can't wait for the 2020 to come out and find out where it's going to be at. And obviously, man, I can't wait for you to be there either because you impressed me a lot, man. Your attitude, your persistence, man. You were the one raising your hand before you knew what the question was. Man, this kid is. It was an amazing, amazing event. And like I said, just even with the networking with you and everybody else there, man, it was like, You can't put a dollar amount sign on that because how many times we talk to each other now via text and we stay in contact, that's massive.
Yeah. The one thing that I've noticed is how small the world is. Just like with talking to a couple of people, it's crazy how you find people just in your own state. You know what I mean? So how many people did you find in like around your area?
Yeah. You said, how do I find people?
No, how many people did you find at that event like that are in Florida?
Well, I found a few, but Florida's pretty big. So, like, I found a lot of people down in Miami, Tampa, and I connected with some of them. But, man, like I said, Kyle is only, 45 minutes away. I want to say in total, there's probably, like, 10 or 15 people from Florida, but they were all over the place. So, somebody close to me was that I connected to was him. And you're right. You never know how many people are doing it until you go to an event like that. And you're like, man, there's a lot of people out there doing it. And they're not. They're a fraction of who's out there,
Right. So the one thing I want to just talk about is how did you get your last deal? And then because you told me that you actually closed during the event, which was crazy. Yeah. So how did that process go through? And how did that process go through?
Yeah. So I got the first deal was a Craigslist post. Second deal I got was off of driving for dollars, knocking on doors.
Right.
Third deal was being assigned, and then the last deal was being assigned as well. So this last deal that closed down while we're in at We Live was actually a band assigned. So it was a guy who was an absentee owner, so he wasn't living in the house. He's been trying to sell this house for a little while, needed quick cash. And it took about a month and a half to 2 months for him to actually sign the paperwork because he was just He no call, no show. He told me he'd be at the appointment, didn't show up. Okay. Then he called back and scheduled the appointment, didn't show up.
Wow.
So I was like, man, what's going on? So I thought maybe nothing. And that's why at We Live, they talk about follow-up is so critical. So his house was on the way from dropping my son off at school. So every day I'd put banner signs, I'd drive through different areas, but I'd always drive by that house. And one day I was driving by and his car was there.
Okay.
So I was like, man, I don't want to just pop in there and be like, hey, man, you no-showed.
Right.
So there was a house across the street that somebody was renovating. So I pulled over there and went inside and gave my card and said, hey, are you investors, blah, blah, blah. As I'm looking over across the street trying to meet the guy, and then I yelled his name out. And he's like, who are you? And I talk, and he showed me through the house. He wanted – the house was like ARV for 130.
Okay.
He wanted to get about 100, 105.
Okay.
At that time, I got it down to 90 walking through it. It was a pretty clean house.
Okay.
But I couldn't do it. The numbers didn't make sense. So all I did was every week or two, I just follow up with a text or a call. Hey, man, how's it going? How's your kids? And hopefully you sold the house. And honestly, if you can get more money from somebody else, man, I always tell people, list it with an agent or, try to rent it out.
Right.
But he can sell it. And then he called me one day and said, hey, man, I know you said your offer was 65. I think I might be closer to where you're at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you know what? We can go to, I knew my MAO, so we got it at 70.
Wow.
Locked in at 70. House was, 130, actually 135, 140 at that point. Moved up a little bit in ARV.
Okay.
And then I shot it out, got it shut down for 80, did it for 70 and got it locked up for 86.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Talk about a follow-up, right?
Yeah, and honestly, man, you just gotta constantly remind yourself. And I don't deal with any CRMs or anything like that as of yet. I'm looking, like we talked about, I'm diving. If you look at my computer screen right now, I've got about 15 CRM sites, all this stuff. Because now that this is working and I have validation that it works,
right.
I'm like, man, you know what? I'm gonna help more people with this. And I wanna make sure I stay organized because, I do it off the Google reminder and all that, and, write notepads, but man, I want to make sure I'm consistent on my follow-up. But yeah, that follow-up is so critical, man. And it helped him out of a tough situation. And that's one of the best things is being a blessing in people's lives. The third deal I closed, I got to tell you, after it closed, the son and the mother, called me, the mom was in tears, you don't understand, James, God put you on my path for a reason.
Wow.
You realize how much of a blessing. And some people say, well, you're taking advantage of people. You're not.
You're right.
You're doing what is agreed upon between you and them, and it's helping them out of a bad situation. And if you're not going to do it, somebody else is. Exactly. You might as well go in there and take your helping people out,
Yeah, that's beautiful. I never, if a caller, what do you call it? If a seller calls you back and says thank you, all that, you did the right job.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the biggest thing is just doing what, if it's doable, do it. If not, that's one thing I found because, I'm sure you'll find it. Everybody listening will find, you'll go on appointments that don't end up in a sale, and it's right. Not about getting somebody under contract every time. There's times where if I leave, and that's where you add value. If you constantly add value to people's lives, that's what it's about. So even when somebody's doing a for sale by owner, all they know about is Zillow. So if I know their price is too high and there's no wiggle room there,
right.
I want them to get top dollar. So I'll tell them, say, hey, I just want to let you know I've got about 12 sites that you can go on to and list for sale by owners for free. Oh, really? And I'll say, hey, give me your email address. And I'll forward that information to them. And it's not putting money in my pocket, but it's helping them with their situation. And who knows? I'm newer to this, but I've heard a lot of people say when you plant the seed and do that, down the road, they may say, you know what? I got a friend who's selling a house and they're in a bad situation. Or they may say, you know what? I'm tired of dealing with a for sale by owner. Make an offer and you never know where it'll come for it. So right. You just got to constantly try to add value, even if you're not going to get a deal off it.
Wow, that's true. Exactly.
Be a blessing, man. Be a blessing all the time.
Yeah, just be like a human being. Don't act like I just want to buy the house. It's all about the house. Just talk to them like a human being.
Yeah, you go in there salivating and close the sale, and you're walking around the contract, and you're ready.
Right.
You're gonna lose. I'll be honest. I don't even carry a contract in. Now I got it in the car.
Right.
I don't carry it in because I don't want them to feel like I'm there just to. I tell them I want to buy their house, and that's what I'm here to do. But only if it makes sense. And like I said, I always, hey, why don't you live? Because I always try to take away the things that may come up down the road. So I'll tell them, why don't you list it with a real estate agent and just shut up and listen.
Right.
And they'll say, well, I don't want to deal with an agent. I don't want to pay their commissions. I don't want to have to fix all this stuff up. And then I say, why don't you rent it out? And they're like, I don't want to get the rental game. I don't want to deal with the drama. I don't want to deal with tenants. Or maybe they've done that and they don't want to deal with it again because it can be expensive when they have vacancies. But I do that so down the road, if there's any issues that come up, I've already offered them that. I want them to get top dollar. I really do.
Yeah, exactly. So, it's all about helping. So what was I going to ask? So I'm just going to I don't want to take too much of your time. I'm just going to ask you one more question.
Sure.
Just like we learned at that event, what is your why? Why are you doing this? You could just have your regular job, have that safety net. You know what I mean? So why are you risking it like this? And then why? What is your why?
Yeah, I can tell you my why. I kind of have this taped up on the back of my computer because this is something. I don't know if you can see it or not. This is from my son.
Oh, okay. The
greatest gift I ever had came from God, and I call him my dad.
Wow. And, your son said, whoa.
So
that hits hard.
That stays taped up here all the time, and it's one of those things to where whenever I'm doing something, I get chills. I got chills right now thinking about that. But right. My why, obviously, is right now is my son's 13. He'll be 18 before you know it.
Right.
And I want to make sure I give him the right guidance in life to where I set him up for a future that's not controlled by corporate America, unless that's what he wants.
Right.
He's a very giving kid. He has a big heart like his dad. But when I was a kid, I was hungry. I was shoveling driveways, raking leaves, right, mowing lawns. I was a go-getter all the time. And then I started the corporate America, and my blinders got put on. That's a good analogy. I was chasing the wrong thing. So now it's one of those things. I want to help him. Plus, I think I may have mentioned it to you, that first deal that closed in December,
right,
I wanted him to see the value of giving back. It's that go-giver attitude.
Okay.
So in December, I posted something on Facebook saying, hey, any families in need for Christmas,
wow,
do me a favor and inbox me because I want to try to help with you know, and the check was $6,000. It wasn't ridiculous, but it was – so Gage and I went to Walmart, and we loaded up baskets with toys for families. And then we went and bought five $50 gift cards for Walmart.
Wow.
And we provided Christmas for five single moms who had no money. And I got to tell you, man, that was such a blessing. I mean, I was in tears with these people because they're literally in my driveway or wherever we meet. And they're just – they have kids they can't provide for. And they're like, you know, you gave back to us. You didn't have to. And like, it really touched my heart because I thought to myself at that time, if I could do that with $6,000, what could I do with $60,000, with $600,000, with $6 million?
Right.
And so for me, I've always been one of those people that want to help everybody else out. Like, I put other people's first.
Right.
People don't care how much you know. They don't care how much you know. They want to know how much you care. So I think giving back and showing my son that and teaching him that life lesson is what it's all about, man.
That's amazing. For Christmas, that's beautiful, man.
Yeah, man, it was amazing because one of the ladies, she's like, oh, where do you want to meet? And I said, oh, well, I can meet you at this gas station at the end of Kepler and International. And she's like, oh, I live right by there. I'm like, oh, where do you live? Dude, she's like, she's six houses away from me. I had no idea.
Small world.
And she's a single mom, just, you know, going through some hard times. Her kid is a 10-year-old autistic boy, and when I was bringing out the presents one after another, she's bawling, and I'm sitting there in my driveway, like trying to, you know, keep it together.
Right.
And she goes, I gotta tell you, like, I've never been able to provide Christmas for my son, and he's 10 years old. This is gonna be the best Christmas he had. And I was like, you know what? Wow. I'm glad I could help. So it's rewarding, man.
Yeah, I mean, that's an amazing story. So yeah. I don't want to waste too much of your time. It was a pleasure talking to you. If my listeners or anybody has questions with real estate, where can they reach you at?
My name is James Cannata, Cannata. Okay. You can hit me up on Instagram at James Cannata. My email address is you can get me at. I'm trying to think of the best email address to get because I have so many with this business now. yoursimplifiedpropertysolution@gmail.com. yoursimplifiedpropertysolution@gmail.com or my Google Voice. I can give that too.
Sure.
Somebody wants to text or call 386-232-8722. Man, if there's something I can do, I'm still new too.
Right.
But I definitely, the last 4 or 5 months, I've definitely progressed. So I can definitely help out anybody who has questions or needs a motivation or wants to bounce ideas. I'm always there to help people out for sure.
That's good to hear, man. For my listeners, I'm definitely going to stay in touch with James. He is he's a genius in my mind. He's crushing it right now. So I'll put all his information down below. And it was a pleasure talking to you, James.
Salim, you too, my brother. If you need anything, let me know. Everything, your mom's good? Everything's good?
Right. Good.
Your mom? Okay, cool. I know you said you had to pick her up and everything. Look, man, you amazed me. And I'm not just saying this for your viewers. I'm saying it because, you know, just hearing your heart and your passion and seeing what you're doing at your age, man, dude, the world is yours. Just stay consistent, put people first, man. God is going to bless you in huge ways, my friend.
Amen.
Yeah. Let's go.
Let's go. I'm excited.
All right, bro. Well, stay in contact, man. If you need anything else, definitely reach out and stay for your listeners, man. I'm proud of you for putting this whole thing together, man.
I appreciate it, man. Appreciate it. Thank you for sharing your story, man.
You got it, brother. We'll talk to you soon.